Today on Real Radio.
God hears the prayer of those whose hearts and spirit are broken and contrite. A Christian is of a broken and contrite spirit of heart. That is a Christian.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series on the parables of Jesus. The book of Luke, which records many of these parables, contains one that speaks of justification versus self-righteousness. We're talking about the parable of the Pharisee and the sinner, as found in chapter 18 of Luke's gospel. It's about two men, one of them very religious, and the other quite irreligious, if you will, in fact despised by the people, which we'll see. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with the parable of the Pharisee and the sinner.
See, this all gets him set to look down upon others. The word despised here, they despised others. The word means to be contemptible. Listen, it means to look at other people, think now, to look at other people less valuable than yourself. How do you know if someone is like that? Because this word carries with it a verbiage to it or an action. I am a religious person. I don't talk to these kinds of people. And so in conduct, they just turn away from them. They don't acknowledge their existence. I told you guys before, but it's in my mind. I can see it happening again. Years ago, when the wall came down, the Iron Curtain, we went right into Russia in the very early 1990s. And we were preaching the gospel everywhere. It was amazing because everything had fallen apart in Russia. We were in Moscow. There were no police because the police couldn't be paid. So they stopped showing up for work. But the Russians have been taught to be so obedient. I mean, nobody stepped out of line. But we were preaching and nobody would stop us. And we were preaching the gospel on crates right in front of Lenin's tomb in Red Square. And people were gathering around. And this religious leader that I was told later by somebody is called the Metropolitan in the Russian Orthodox Church, in all of the fancy religious garb, clothing, with his entourage, walked across Red Square, walked right straight to us, and took his robe like Dracula would do, like this. Went like this and turned and walked away, and our translators went, oh, and I was, what is with that? What's what? And they said, oh, that's a display of disgust and rejection. They're not happy you guys are here. A very pharisaical act or response to the preaching of the gospel. We didn't fit their mold. And that's that word, to shun. As a Christian, are we tempted or do we ever shun someone because what they smell, they're poor, they're rich, or they're what? They're white, they're black. Do we look at a group that's outside of us and say, no, don't. Jesus would never do that. Never. He's never done it. He will not do it. And the challenge to us is this: why would we shun someone? Why would we look away at someone? Why would there be that separation? Only if there's a sense of self-righteousness, self-dependence upon, I'm better than you. And that's an affront to God. So when we pray, who has God's ear? Is it the righteous person? Is it the person with the robes? Is it the person in church? God looks at the heart. He's looking at the inside of you, of who you are. And that's all important. Psalm 24, verse 3. Now look, Psalm 24 was written before Psalm 51. Say, duh. Yeah, but listen, every psalm written before Psalm 51, written by David, David's pretty impressed with himself until Psalm 51. And in Psalm 24, verse 3, David says, "Who may ascend to the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place?" This is all true, by the way, but listen. He who has a clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. You read the rest of the Psalms leading up to Psalm 51, and many times David's talking about himself. Read them carefully. "Lord, my enemy has come against me. I have been righteous, and they have despised." Oh, God, there's... Read them. And then Psalm 51. In fact, let me read Psalm 51. You know, do you guys know about Psalm 51? Yeah. Psalm 51 was written after he had murdered Bathsheba's husband because she was pregnant with David's baby because he had brought her into a situation and they committed adultery. King David. And from Psalm 51 on, he's much more humble in his writing. Psalm 51. Watch this. Watch how many times he makes petition to God, cries out to God. Listen to his prayer. Number one, notice this in verse one. "Have mercy." Do you want mercy, people? Yes. I want mercy. Sign me up, God, please, now. Yes. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the multitude of your tender mercies." Number two, "blot out my transgressions." Have mercy, blot out my transgressions. Thirdly, "wash me thoroughly from my iniquity." Number four, "cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight." That you may, listen, if tonight you are a sinner, listen to David's cry. I'm listening to it. "That you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge." Verse 5, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity." This is a profound revelation to him. Listen. "And in sin my mother conceived me." It means that he's a fallen creature. He's not beating up on his mom right now. We're all sinners. Verse 6, "Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts," inside the character of you, "and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom." Here's the fifth request. "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean." Number 6, "Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." Number 7, "Make me hear joy and gladness, that," listen, "the bones you have broken may rejoice." Here's his eighth request. "Hide your face from my sins." Here's the ninth request. "Blot out my iniquities." This is the next one. What, 10? "Create in me a clean heart, O God." 11, "Renew a steadfast spirit in me." 12, by the way, you can thank God for verse 11 that you live in the New Testament era. This does not happen. "Do not cast me away from your presence and do not take your Holy Spirit from me." Thank God that that does not happen in the New Covenant. In those days in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God would come upon them and leave them. To be born again is to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. Look at verse 12. He cries out still, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." Again, he cries, "Uphold me by your generous spirit." And when I, listen, "then," only then, the word means only then, "I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners shall be converted to you." Here's a cry, a request again. "Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed." Wow. "A murderer," he says, "O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness." O Lord, here's the last request. "Open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise, for you do not despise sacrifice or desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God," here it is, "are a broken spirit, A broken and contrite heart, these, oh God, you will not despise. That's the key to tonight. Who does God listen to? Listen, I don't mean this to be, I'm not saying this to be mean. I'm not saying this to attack anybody. Please get this. Are you listening, church? I understand your intentions are sweet and it's necessary at times. But when we say, come forward and pray with people, pray with the prayer elders, that's an opportunity for you to pray with someone else and biblically to receive prayer. It's biblical. But when you grab us and say, Pastor, will you pray for me? Or will you pray for my family? The answer is yes, and we're going to do that. But do you understand something? God hears the prayer of those whose hearts and spirit are broken and contrite. A Christian is of a broken and contrite spirit of heart. That is a Christian. Meaning, God hears my prayer just as much as he hears your prayer. He doesn't hear my prayer or your prayer more than my prayer or your prayer. When you pray, he hears you. He's not unjust. I know you and I feel unworthy. Don't you feel unworthy? We all feel unworthy. I don't feel worthy enough to talk to God, to pray to God. I can't do it. Look, some of us have learned how to handle our unworthiness more than others. You know what that means? We've learned this. God welcomes the unworthy. Some of you haven't learned that yet. You're not trusting him enough yet. You're still trusting in you still. I can't pray. I'm not worthy. This guy was so worthy that he entertains God with his prayer. Hey, God, you can hear it. You can feel it. Hey, God, boy, aren't you glad I'm praying to you now? It's me. Of course, all heaven knows who I am. I tithe all kinds of stuff. I fast all the time. Look, it's me. You think God heard that? All God hears is nails on a chalkboard. Think of it. James chapter 4, verse 6 tells us, James 4:6 says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Amen. Philippians 2, verse 3 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of the other. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality or something to be pursued with God, something to be used to his own advantage. Verse 7, rather, he made himself, listen, nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, a human, being made in human likeness and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even the death of the cross. This is our example. Man. So look, skip ahead for a second. We're not there yet, but skip ahead to verse 13. And the tax collector, standing far off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. See the word merciful right there? That word just, and by the way, those look at those seven words. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Boom. This week celebrates, what is it, the 150th anniversary of the Gettysburg Address. Took 3 minutes for Lincoln to read it. He was not even the keynote speaker, though he was president. He was the second speaker. And very few people heard him. He spoke so softly. 272 words, 3 minutes. Considered the most powerful speech ever given in human language, in English. possibly ever. You ever read that thing? I posted it on my Facebook today because it's so awesome. You gotta read it. He said it yesterday, 150 years ago. Seven words right here that the Bible tells us God will not reject. These words, God be merciful to me, sinner. The word merciful here is the Greek word God. Is there a propitiation for me? That's what it means. God, has someone stood in the gap for me? Listen, you need to hear this. No matter how you feel, no matter what's going on in your life, this man, this is for us tonight. Jesus is telling us this guy, a notorious sinner, says, God, will someone pay the price for me? You know what that means? He's completely bankrupt. He understands he's broke. He can't earn God's favor. This is encouraging. Who will God hear? Who will God listen to? Every one of us tonight who will say, oh Lord, I'm a sinner. Jesus, I love you, but I'm so disgusted with my perpetual failing, if not indeed in my thoughts. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. How often have you prayed this prayer to God? I hope often. Why? The closer you are to the Lord Jesus Christ, the closer you are to the light, the more of the filth in our own hearts he exposes. And instead of him saying, whoa, look at that filth, get out of here, Jack. No, he says, hey, Jack, look at that. You've got dirt under your nails. You've got mud behind your ears. You've got, whatever he points out. And only the man or the woman who can say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus says, yes. Not the person who says, well, God, yeah, but look at the guy next to me. That person does not go away justified. You know what we need to do? We need to make sure that our hearts are in the right place regarding this. We need to be very careful that we're not communicating to people that we are, and this is a tough thing to say, you guys. It's hard to communicate this. Yes, we're Christians. We are God's kids. We have a completely different standard. Our morality is higher than those that we might work with or live with. We're different. We've been changed. But the moment we begin to try to communicate that standard to them as something they should attain to. Listen, you and I never attained to those standards, did we? God has been working in your life. The Holy Spirit has been calling you into a deeper relationship with him. He never spoke to any of us and said, clean up your act and you can be my child. Our human nature is like this, you know? Someday when I get my life together, then I'll become a Christian. When people say that, they are admitting that there's a standard that they can't meet, but I wonder if sometimes that standard's been communicated from us to them. God sets the standard. He does the work in our lives. In this cry, this man is dependent upon the Holy Spirit. The self-righteous man is not. Let's search our hearts tonight. Wouldn't it be amazing? There's enough of you here tonight that if God did a number on our hearts, imagine if we were renewed in our joy and boldness to know that God forgives sinners, he forgives us as his children because we fail miserably, and he wants to hear us, and not only hear us, listen, Jesus said this. Now, remember, this parable is about prayer. When you pray, he speaks in Luke's gospel and Matthew's gospel. He says to the believers, he says to the disciples, when you pray, ask your Father for the Holy Spirit. Now that's an interesting statement because if you're a Christian tonight, you already have the Holy Spirit in you. But as believers, we are to be asking God perpetually for the Holy Spirit to come upon us for power. And we need power. Yes, as his children, we fail. But listen, so much of our failures happen because we're not walking in the power of God. This goes right back to where we began. The sinner becomes dependent upon the Lord. The self-righteous man is dependent upon himself. This church, your pastor, all of us together, we need to be dependent upon the Holy Spirit more.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called The Parable of the Pharisee and the Sinner. The Parable of the Pharisee and the Sinner. It's part of Pastor Jack's series of lessons called The Parables of Jesus, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. All right, it's time for another Ask Pastor Jack, and I've got a pretty good one for you today, Pastor Jack. Let me throw one out at you, but first I want to remind folks, if you've got a question for Pastor Jack, send it to askpastorjack@reallifewithjackhibbs.org. askpastorjack@reallifewithjackhibbs.org. All right, Pastor Jack, this one comes from Alex. He says, Pastor Jack, I'm curious as to what organization is doing the most to help persecuted Christians these days. I'd also love to hear your perspective on what preparations should a believer make with all that's happening. How does the average Joe prepare for what's coming, should the rapture tarry? And how can the average believer do something to help the persecuted church?
Yeah, first of all, let me say this. All of us right now are going through a deep sense of, I don't know how to answer
what
the word.
What do I do?
We feel so disabled and ill-effective
yeah.
regarding our brothers and sisters. And I say that even in light of the fact that we, every Wednesday night, we have prayer here at the church for the persecuted church. We pray for them. And I feel so inadequate just praying for them.
Yeah, I know.
I want to do more. And we are doing more. But here's the thing. Answering your question, there are various organizations. Samaritan's Purse, Franklin Graham's organization, is a great, great organization. Another one that we are very involved in, and that's Hope for Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
Hope for Iraq
mm-hmm.
is some wonderful organizations here that you can get involved in. I would also be careful because you're using God's money and you want to use it wisely. So all I can say right now is I can tell you that both those organizations are excellent. But listen, what if the Lord tarries regarding persecution here? Personally, I am in my life preparing for physical persecution. I don't want to say that to alarm anybody. I think it's true. I think right now in America, we are going through what I call white-collar persecution. We're being pressured by our government, locally and federally, to shut up about Jesus. We're being pressured and intimidated that if we continue to teach Bible doctrine, we'll lose our tax-exempt status. Look, no one's going to bleed to death over those kinds of decisions,
right.
but it is persecution nonetheless. But I believe the way things are going, as Islam has its way more and more in America, as more and more Americans really surrender
yeah.
by apathy and neglect and indifference, we are surrendering our nation. In conjunction with that, you're going to see a great rise of physical persecution, and it's going to be against churches. It's going to be against Christians who are making a difference. Satan knows who we are,
yeah.
and he'll target us.
Yeah.
Here's the glorious thing, is that we, when that time comes, we will enter into the great long line of history of believers who suffered for Jesus' sake. Look, Jesus said that, don't be surprised, they hated him first before they ever hated us. It's going to happen. We are going to be persecuted. It could be bodily very soon.
Mm-hmm.
So number one, to prepare, know what you believe in. Number two, understand that Jesus is above and trumps all pain or physical suffering that we can endure. And then thirdly, we're going to inherit heaven. Heaven's our home. That's where we're going. So help out those right now that you can, Samaritan's Purse or Hope for Iraq, and get ready to get bloody. That's what I believe. I do hope the rapture happens today. But if it doesn't happen today, get ready to get bloody.
Good stuff. Thanks for sending that in, Alex. Remember, if you've got a question for Pastor Jack, email it to askpastorjack@reallifewithjackhibbs.org. askpastorjack@reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.